I would like to give another kind of theme for your own experimentation, investigation, reflection, deepening, and then do a guided meditation. So the question that can be worth asking is about the stories that we play out, that we play in. That we tend to think are going on. And the question is just, is there any storyline whatsoever that is not projection? Is there any story whatsoever that is not projection? And therefore not real. Therefore it is, if it's projection, is it real? Is it true? Is it true to your sincerity? Is it true to your deepest place? Of wisdom. And so we can play with untangling the webs of stories around our lives. And we can see where there might be some storylines that are helpful to follow to keep us on track, that help us grow out of very strong habits. But it can help to keep in mind that it's a story that will one day be seen as unreal. Or we could say as no longer necessary, no longer needed, no longer helpful. So at one point in one later Buddhist text, a storyline is used to help. So children are told, or we could say we are told, that there is a fire, the house is on fire, to help us get out of the house. And then once we're out of the house, we can see that it wasn't really on fire, but it was good that we thought it was on fire, so we got out of the house. Otherwise, the children, we just want to keep playing with our toys inside the house, where we can't actually see what's going on. So that's that story. The fire story, the fire sermon. Are there any questions?
What's the definition of story?
We could say anything that constellates around I. So if you prefer, we could say like the sense of separation or I-ness, ego. But it can be helpful to have examples rather than definition. So,
I mean, in order to consider your question whether or not all stories are projections, I'd have to think what do I mean by story.
So try to think what I might mean by story.
So if it's what did you say, focused on an eye, separation,
constellated around an eye.
Could there be any stories that are not based on separation and therefore maybe not projected?
So that's the inquiry exactly. One example of a story that might seem not to be constellated around an eye comes from Byron Katie. If you read the whole book towards the end, she talks about joy and how if we look back even to the worst moments, she says we can still feel that somewhere behind the scenes there is a place of joy that's not touched. And so she says, if we want, then we could use that final story like the stick that helps us burn all the other wood, and then we can throw that stick in to the fire. We can say everything is joy. Joy is always here. Another way to talk about story would be framework reference points. Maps. But I wouldn't want to have only one definition of story. I think there's many, many kinds. Another example that could help for a freeing kind of investigation would be where we notice ourselves having fear, let's say, fearful resistance to doing something because it reminds us too closely of something in the past. Or we feel frustrated because it feels like, oh, this is happening again. And in a way, we could taste in those emotions a kind of signal of story happening. I'm projecting the past onto the world. I'm projecting my faulty memory and limited experience of the past onto what's actually going on. So a helpful storyline then might be, well, it actually would be too much to force myself to go and confront a situation that is very similar to something that shocked me before. I know it would put my system into shock. Or I know it's not relevant, it's not actually, there's a no pull, there's no call, there's no heart reason to confront that. But we could also still play with dropping the projection. We can play with knowing that there's a strong habit, another example, of a certain kind of behavior, so some kind of addiction, where I have to be right, or I have to be better, or I have to be worse, or whatever. Some kind of compulsion that makes us feel kind of somehow strangely okay. Not really at ease, but it makes us feel that we could be stable because it's familiar. And it could be helpful to have the storyline of this is my habit that I am breaking by not doing the same thing. I could say that this habit that I, this addictive, compulsive habit energy is a house on fire and I'm going to walk out of it. But it can help to have the sense in the background that it's not really on fire, but I do need to get out of the house. I can walk out of the house. It's helpful because we can be more playful and light and not make enemies of habits. And also, even if we respect the power of habits, because we see how they do take over again and again, in any simple single moment, it's not much that's needed. That's a nice story. Sometimes it's a good story to tell us ourselves. It can be a good story to tell ourselves when we need encouragement. Surely it will get easier. But the problem with the story is then when it doesn't get easier, when life gives more challenge, we can take it as I'm doing worse because it's not getting easier. And so that's one sample of how a story can be killing. A story that was helpful can end up damaging.
Actually, that word helpful has been coming up for me with this, the thing that you're describing. For some reason over the last couple of days when these things come up, I've just been able to say to myself, that's not helpful. Mm. Rather than, you're doing it again, whatever, never, it's always, just like, that's not helpful. It's been kind of remarkably, just feeling like there's someone or something there that just like, it's more like maybe a kind of a maternal thing.
Yeah.
It's not working.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Yes, energy?
You wouldn't advise, like, creating a story to help you get through something, would you?
Well, I'm saying that according to the parts of the Buddhist tradition, that's what they do.
So you're like tricking yourself somehow?
Mm-hmm. So there's tricking on purpose and there's tricking without meaning to. So, but it's what I was trying to say, I don't know, a couple weeks ago maybe, about doubting the doubt and tricking the tricky part of life, of us. But it's very tricky to trick ourselves on purpose.
So like if I say I don't like getting up in the morning, I can say trick myself into thinking I do? Like, and I will, maybe?
I haven't heard of that really working for very long. It could be enough to get you started so that you find out that you actually do really like to be in the morning, that there are things about being up in the morning that you do really like. But trying to pretend that I like it, it's hard to keep that up for very long. But that's where, exactly, where there's possibly a habit that might not be in your best interest. It's not sure yet, but probably. And it can be helpful to have a storyline there. And it can be fun to know that it's a storyline. So that it's not that when you do sleep late, you're like really, really the big bad bear. It's a bit more playful. And there's less of that, because then you're really not using force, and then there's nothing to rebel against. But there is a way, it's kind of like Aikido, where there is force happening, so we're so accustomed to it that it feels normal that I can't get up in the morning, for example. But there is force in that. And so Aikido would find a way to not fight the force, but let that force be, in a way, released from fighting. It takes a lot of love. Which is what's fun about it. This kind of, the way that Katora was saying, the kind of motherly sense can really help. So it's more like there's a part of us that is stuck in a house and can't see life. It's just stuck playing with the same little toy truck. This is the fire, this is a teaching of the Mahayana tradition of Buddhism. And so the mother would not mind, maybe not all mothers, but some mothers would not mind saying, "You're missing your whole life, look, get out of that house." And if the child keeps playing with the toys, "Okay, look, the house is on fire, come on, come on out." And then the child can come out and say, "Hey, the house is not on fire, but wow, there's life out here." Yeah. Yeah.
Just being aware of it.
Well, if it really becomes, if you start to get the taste of seeing how much is projection, it's like a different kind of fire. It's very fun, it's very freeing, and so getting that taste of like how even the tiniest little things are involved in projection, and don't need to be. Like the food itself doesn't need our projection. The food itself, if we're eating food, if we have food in front of us, it doesn't require any projection onto it. But usually there's a lot of subtle story going on about the food on the plate.
So I'm quite aware about like projecting things on not necessarily food. And
yeah.
But that doesn't help.
Yeah, okay. So how to develop how...
You know, I have that awareness that it's pretty much great and so the storyline is continuing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's, you know, I wonder if you can say something that goes deeper than that.
Yeah, okay. Let's see what comes. I think in a way it's almost, it would be important to maybe in one department somewhere to know, okay, this probably still goes on for a while. This has still been going on, like that word still goes on. But in playing the game of seeing through projection and story, to let it take you out of time. So there's not any sense of like, well, this story's gonna come back in 5 minutes or less. You leave that whole, you like leave it that aside so that it can go deeper in the moment. The holding on to, even though it comes from experience, you've seen that it has some particular thing has come back again and again. There's one way that that's helpful to know, to have respect for how important it is to see more deeply. But then to see more deeply, to let go of that sense of time and be fully in the seeing through, the cutting through. Because, yeah, we can recognize in a certain way that that the majority of my experience is projection. And it doesn't help. It gives a kind of dryness. That's true. But if I really give into that seeing in the moment, and I don't worry about whether it comes back or not, I can say a little bit more about that in a moment, but I don't have that kind of jaded part that's like, oh, well, who cares, because still it's going to come back. Where the mind says again or still, always, never. It's not quite true. It has a truth, it has a relative truth in it that we need to be willing, even if it comes again forever. I could see it as if first or last time, right now.
You mean you wanted to say it doesn't matter if it's coming back?
In one way, it doesn't matter. And what's important is that the part of me that wants it to matter is in the way of seeing, blocking me from seeing more deeply.
Well, I can see what lies behind it or underneath it, like this kind of emotion feeling.
Yeah. But the aliveness that's unveiled.
I wouldn't call it aliveness.
So that's what I'm saying. Not just the emotion that is kind of becomes exposed, the emotional patterning and all, but then what is left if I'm not buying into that.
Okay, and that is aliveness.
Yeah.
Sure.
And that, even if it's not even a full second, it has a taste that starts to be like a breeze, like under the wings.
Well, I think, yeah, my sort of problem is to, I'm trying to get rid of that story.
Yeah.
That's where the trouble is starting.
Yeah.
Because it's been going on for years.
Yes.
And I don't want to see that again.
Yeah. It's somehow full acceptance. And it's also similar to what Gabby was saying, like, well, doesn't it get easier? It may not get easier, it might get harder. And what I find in those situations that do that, that tend not 10, but can get harder or not go away. It precisely shows me where my sincerity is, where the only place I can be is. If I give up trying to escape, solve, whatever, but fully give up, that's what I mean by full acceptance.
Okay.
So in a way, like Jugim Trungpa calls it hopelessness.
Yeah.
So if I let hopelessness be,
then what happens? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see. I see.
Yeah. Thank you. I told you what you were going to say.
I was just thinking when Carson was saying, like, what's underneath it or above it. There's been a way recently that things start to seem to appear on the same plane, and that, like, something very simple will fracture, and I'll see that it's not only that thing.
Yeah.
But many other things all at the same time.
Yeah.
And I think it started when just the phrase came up, like looking at someone else and projecting, and a sort of phrase came up that said, you have an ocean of good qualities. And I sort of have worked with that sort of on both sides, like toward the person and toward myself at that moment. And that, and it seems very helpful to see suddenly, like you talk about with the meditation and the night sky, that suddenly there's like, and it's not like, this just happens sometimes. I'm always really happy when it does. I can't make it happen.
Yeah.
It's like, but where suddenly the space around the person or myself or a thing or whatever just gets bigger, and it's like you see this person or yourself or the thing in a more of like a refracted light, where it's just suddenly clear that there's so much in that space.
And what?
And then it fades.
Right.
Today I had the experience of, and I was sitting, just looking at an olive tree, and I was trying to, like, practicing what you've been teaching, like looking at the sky, the daytime sky in this case, and trying to feel into that openness. Right at the place where I was looking was this little swarm of, it must have been gnats or something.
Yeah.
It was like a ball that was rotating around and on the top of the olive tree, and would catch the light and you could see it, and then it would go away. And it just made me laugh. I was looking and this funny little ball of gnats came passing through.
Cool.
It was like they were almost not there.
Mm-hmm.
They were.
Yes, sometimes what we thought was openness is full. Mm-hmm. Sometimes in an enriching way, and sometimes in a deadening way.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes what we thought was full of stuff that we didn't want ends up being spacious.
Space is not just space, it's also space.
Yeah, somewhere between spaciousness and space. Okay.
Can I say something?
Yes.
I meet this here from story, from the Jataka.
From the Jataka stories,
yes.
Uh-huh.
Jataka Manasana. And the story was a little bird. He's very... in the forest with a family, and this little bird did not grow up very, very healthy. No wings, he cannot fly, and living in a big fire is in the forest, and all the family flying, and the little bird cannot fly. And this is totally hopeless.
also with the fire. Yes, we stop. Yes, because it was totally with himself totally.
Mm.
And it was my question. It was this story in my mind all the time.
Mm.
Sometimes, wow. I don't know now. Sometimes I can be ignorant, you know. I don't see things. Okay, I don't see as you put my finger on this place.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes other things, because you have so many stories. Sometimes you need, I don't know if you have to be a place to be in this place, to be able to to be with a fire.
Yeah.
This little bird, had no choice,
yeah.
Because it was this place, and
yeah.
So all the wisdom and the fire stopped.
Mm.
So the story was touched me so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes you don't see the truth. That is fear. Probably it's better to fly away. I don't know.
Right.
Not to be only with a fear. The fear also can be some dependent is not. Probably sometimes it's too strong. You cannot be.
Yeah.
It was my question. And your other question, we have to speak about the joy.
Mm-hmm.
I think almost everyone has this experience of something touching. It's a practice, it's happened. It can happen.
Joy.
The joy. Mm-hmm. It can happen like a spring of joy. It can arise, and without a reason like this. And it's annoying ourselves because you I know it is inside me. Something cannot run away. It is.
Yeah.
But the blindness is so, the darkness also, or the fear is so big.
Mm.
In this moment, you cannot touch.
Yeah.
So the story is arise. And I don't know, after some time, I can see, but sometimes I don't see. Sometimes I'm not aware of what happened to me. Most of the time, of the little thing, yes, I know. After, I can, when I know, after, I smiling. Most of the time, I'm smiling. I'm laughing about myself.
Yeah.
When I am in this place, with the sadness, it's always fear and sadness together.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only fear, because the fear, I don't know, it's really the world. It is something, the darkness, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know how to
unease.
Go out this, how is this place.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm lost in this place.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. Yeah. Again. Not again, but what I want to express, because I don't see only this, always I am always on this way, on this
Yeah, lifelong theme.
Always.
Yeah.
Almost everything I meet, it's always this lightness and darkness in between. And
Did you understand the story? Could you hear?
Actually not.
Yeah. There's a family of birds, and there's one little bird who's tiny and doesn't grow up with well, so can't fly.
The story says because you don't want to eat meat, but it's a Buddhist tradition.
The bird doesn't grow up strong because it refuses to eat meat. Doesn't want to eat other animals, and so it ends up not having wings and not being able to fly. And living in the jungle, along comes a big fire, forest fire. And all the rest of the family flies up, away from the fire, flies up and away. And this little tiny bird can't fly and has no escape. And a huge fire roaring is coming. And in the story, isn't it like the power of the little tiny bird's wisdom and fearlessness?
Stop the fire.
Like in the Buddha's image, this is like the fear knot posture. And the fire stops before reaching where the bird is. I feel a little bit similar to what Karsten was saying.
I don't, I would use too.
Too far away. You can't hear each other.
Too much English.
Too much English. Would you please say a summary of our conversation? Possible?
Well, I sort of was asking Jaya what to do with stories who come back all the time for me. And even though, you know, it's like a recurring something which is coming back, you see him all the time and you know, and you even know the underlying emotion or feeling which triggers which sort of is the source of that story which is coming again and again. So I want to get that story rid of. I want to stop that story and not to come again. And that's where, that is in a way where the Jaya suggests just to let it be, just to take it in and not to, in a way, what triggered, what connected what you said about hopeless, that, you know, cut immediately. Just you're seeing hopelessness in this case, and that will help.
So giving up the fight.
But I don't see that hopeless sometimes is very, very helpful.
What is very helpful?
Hopeless sometimes is very, very helpful when sometimes you don't have choice.
Yes, well, that's what he means by hopeless. Hopelessness. That's why I liked the story with the bird and both of you.
Not all the time. Sometimes it perhaps it's better to fly away. I don't know.
Right. But what I think, to me, the magic of that story would be that it's because of the power of the bird's fearlessness and also giving up, like helplessness. But so being fearless and helpless is not a combination we're used to. To be fearless and helpless, so not to fight, is the power that made the fire stop. It could be a power that makes the bird fly. I think at that point we've like given our life into something else. And then a fire can stop, a bird can fly like that could never fly before. Or the circumstance seems to be sad, but the inner transformation happens. Which is the main. And it's curious because I remembered that story up in, I couldn't remember what happened at the end, but I remembered feeling, loving the bird, that little bird, and knowing that it was a powerful bird. And so it's kind of like, in a way, that's a good, by chance, I didn't remember the ending, that can help us remember it's not about the ending. But the ending can be different. It could be that the ending is different. But not if we hope so. And not if we fight.
To the Buddhist text, and I find the fire. I find the table of fire.
Yeah. You mean the fire sermon that I said now? Yeah. So I don't know if, I want to just let you know the question she poses, in case you didn't hear or understand. She's saying she loves the story, but she questions whether sometimes it's better to fly away, to find a way to fly away.
But isn't this in this story the little bird can't? Right,
but yeah. She's saying, since that's a story, and then her life is a different story, maybe she doesn't know if it's about staying and facing the fire literally, or if it would be about knowing the fire and the circumstances and what's possible at the time means that flying away would be wisdom somehow. Like a story could be that the other birds come with some vines and they make a net and all the animals cooperate to make the net and pick up the little bird, and you know, there could always be another ending. So the important part, just let's make it that it's, I know you understand, but I want to say again for all of us.
Yes, yes.
The important part is not the ending. It's not about that I should stay or I should fly away. It's about the fearlessness and helplessness. Mm. And that from there, that happens, like that deeper happening happens. And that is all that's important. That's all that's in our hands. Mm-hmm. We cannot change the course of some events. Mm-hmm. But we can be moved by what's moving those events. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just want to mention a story that I read in a magazine a long time ago, and I tried to find this story and just haven't been able to, but it's someone who's facing a forest fire. And the forest fire is, and it's a true story, and the forest fire is raging and no one can escape. And this person suddenly has the insight to light a fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the path of the fire. And somehow, I don't know how, but somehow that moment of knowing to light a fire to stop a fire makes the fire change its course or stop. I'm not sure what.
Well, it can't, then there's nothing to burn around the person.
Right, yeah.
And so that person has enough space from it, himself and the fire. I think it was a man firefighter, I'm not sure. Maybe it's happened more than one time, but probably. Yeah.
But so I'm wondering about that moment. Of, I think it was an article about the Eureka moment.
Right.
And like how in those situations, and it's just making me wonder if that fearlessness and helplessness is really, you know, like a part of that Eureka thing, and that where does it come from? Maybe it doesn't matter where it comes from. It seems like sort of it's beyond us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So is the point then to trust that it will come rather than...
Yeah, see, that's what I'm wondering.
Trust that what will come? The Eureka?
Yeah, that something will come, to trust.
Yes, but where does the trust come from? I think it has to do with how I'm not trying to be fearless and helpless as a strategy in order to get the help. Uh-huh. I'm feeling how, even in the face of fear, I stick with fearlessness by being like, as at the same time of being helpless. Like it goes together. Helpless, hopeless. Hope and fear, you know, people often say they are one thing with two sides. And so when I give up hope, I've given up fear. If I'm not hoping that it's going to come out better this time, I don't fear that it's going to come out badly because I'm not involved in that negotiation anymore.
Mm-hmm. And it still might come out badly.
And of course it might come out badly in the outer form. Mm-hmm. But I'm in a different place in myself, and that is what makes the difference. And so that's why we can call it trust, because there I am in my place, let's say. So partly it's that I'm not taking the outcome as an outcome, and I'm not taking the outcome as a reflection of myself and of anyone, of how we're doing, of our value, a way to value us. Does that fit, Danielle G?
I get it for like about a second.
Good. No, exactly. Good. Exactly. It has that kind of flashy quality. Okay. So it is hot today. We can rest back and let it be hot. And there's a pool that I haven't yet been in, but Gemma says that it's amazing, fantastic, very worth getting into. Spring water.